You know, I went to the steps with a Big Book Step Study sponsor at the Marshfield Men's Meeting. There was three guys up there. They were all from the Green Harbor meeting, and they had come down to Hyannis and gotten sponsors and went through the steps and then started that meeting up there. And it was very hard to get a sponsor, you know, if they had a bunch of guys that put you off to tell you they didn't have time, so you kind of wait in line to get them. But once you got them, they didn't like to drive. They were cheap on gas, and they were old guys. So they'd make us pick them up and drive them down to Hyannis, the Hyannis meeting. And I remember sitting there, and it was like, you know, brand new. You know, I was years sober, but I was brand new to step study. It was like sitting among the gods, you know. And we were so, you know, we'd listen and talk about it all the way home, and it was, you know. So having me speak here tonight, I feel like you guys have lowered your bar a little bit, but I'm here. The first person I sponsored in Big Book Step Study, I had sponsored him in Open AA. I had started sponsoring him when I was a few months sober. And you know, I went through the steps, and he wanted to do it. I says, okay, but you got to do it exactly the way I did it with my sponsor. You have to sit through all 12 steps. Think about this, see if you really want to do it, and then we'll start. He came back to me a week later, and he said, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and he says I can start right now, that I don't have to sit through all 12 steps. And I very, not in a nice way, said to him, hey, if you don't want to do it my way, go get somebody else for a sponsor. He came back to me 2 days later, and he said, hey, thanks a lot, I got somebody else for a sponsor. He went through the steps, and he's about 26 years sober today. And I found out I wasn't the only sponsor on the block. You know, I'm just, you know, just another sponsor, just another alcoholic, just another drunk trying to stay sober, trying to help people, trying to carry this message. I came to Big Book Step Study in early of 1991. I didn't know why, really. I was sitting around AA. I was very active in Open AA. I was going on a lot of commitments, active in a group. And I saw it in the meeting list book, BBSS. What's this? I says to my sponsor at the time. He says, I don't know. You pick me up, we'll go. So we went down. And prior to that, or right up to that point, I knew I was going out. I knew I wasn't staying. I was sure, absolutely positive, I was the only person in Alcoholics Anonymous that didn't believe in God. They had told me to ask God for help and fake it till you make it and all this stuff, and it wasn't working. I was asking, and I felt like I was talking to the wall, and everybody around me had this great big faith and belief. You know, from the guy that was like a week sober to probably the guy that was a couple of years sober. And they were all talking about turning it over and faith in God and everything else. And they all got drunk and left AA, by the way. But I thought I was the only one that didn't get it. And at that meeting, my first meeting, I found out that I could find it. A faith and a belief in God to doing these steps. I know today that God put me in the steps for that reason. You know, I got a sponsor. I did my fourth step and my fifth step, and I'll back up at my third step. He says, do you believe in God? And I says, I don't know. He says, are you willing to believe in God? And I says, yeah, but I don't know if I can. He says, we'll start right there. You know, he says, God will meet you wherever you are. And we went, we did my fourth step and my fifth step. And as I went through these steps, you know, I started to have little spiritual experiences. By the end of my fifth step, I knew there was a God, and I knew he was helping me. And I had a feeling, or I had a knowing, that I was going to be all right. And I didn't have that when I started. You know, I was really concerned that a year sober that I wasn't going to stay. And if I didn't, I knew if I didn't stay, you know, my family was going to lose everything. I was going to lose everything. My kids were going to be disgusted with me. And I really was afraid of that. So I did my fifth step, I did six and seven, and I started working on my amends list. And all the way through, I was agreeing from the third step on that when I did this process, after I did this process, I would help other people to to go through these steps. That was always part of the deal with my sponsor. You know, I was asking God for help so I could help other people. So I started sponsoring people. And an awful lot of what I learned from sponsorship was doing it wrong, was making mistakes. You know, like that first guy, you know, thinking I knew what God's will for his was. You know, and for a period of time, I thought when they did step three, they were turning their life and their will over to the care of Mike instead of the care of God. You know, and I learned the truth about that. You know, I sponsor somebody today, you know, let's stop drinking first. You know, let's go to a meeting. I don't care what meeting it is. You know, we'll go to a gay woman's meeting if that's what works. What's ever available, you know, any meeting. I don't say you can only go to Big Book Step Study. You got to do this. You got to do that. Let's just go to a meeting. Let's get your feet under you and stop drinking for a while. And we'll go to a meeting. If he's hanging around with me, he's going to end up at Step Study meetings, you know. As he gets sober, you know, we'll start to talk about doing the steps. It's up to them when they're ready. They got to tell me, you know, I want to do the steps. You know, I don't tell them, you got to do it today, you got to do it, you're going to die, you got to do it, you're going to drink, you know. I can tell them, and I share my experience as to what happened when I did them. My life got a whole lot better. And I don't mean materially or in any other way other than I just felt like I was all right. You know, for the first time in my life, I felt like I was going to be all right. I could get through situations without making a mess of everything, without alcohol and drugs. And they could too, you know. You know, like it says, you know, get the wife back, lose the job, get the job. I don't know. I don't know. But I know if they don't stop drinking, that nothing's going to get better. And that's kind of the message I give to them. You know, they want to do these steps. You know, I still do it, you know, basically the same way that they did it with me. You know, sit around. This is a big commitment. Find out about this a little bit. You know, you don't need to, you can't know all about it. If you're here new, you can't know, you can't understand everything we're talking about right away or what you're going to have to go through and the work you're going to have to do. But you can get some kind of idea that it's not a cakewalk and that it's not going to happen real overnight. And I just do that. You know, I'm a friend. I encourage them. I don't beat people up with the big book. Over a period of time, I think I've kind of learned when to give them a nudge and when to back off and let them sit, you know, by themselves for a while until they're ready to go on. You know, I got a guy now that he was doing his cause and effects, and I got busy with family stuff. And I usually like to, you know, start him on the cause and effects and see it and work with him and everything else. And this guy's calling me up, and he says, oh, jeez, I got 180 names down. I'm there, oh, my God, I screwed up. This shouldn't have happened without me taking a look at it. I'm going to take a look at it and have to throw half the thing in the rubbish and all this stuff. And I looked at it, and the guy was right on. You know, he got it right. He took the example we talked about in the beginning and did a couple, and he took that, and he was right on. And that made me feel really good. You know, I can't give anybody the enthusiasm to do this. You know, but I know that you couldn't have stopped me from doing this once I started writing. I was busy. I had all the excuses. You know, I got up at 5 o'clock and went to work. I went to meetings every night, blah, blah, blah. Where am I going to find time to write? And my sponsor said, if you want to do this, you'll find time. You know, and I believe that about anybody else. You know, what worked for me was I got up at 4:30 and wrote for an hour before I went to work. And that's pretty much it for carrying the message. You know, I'll carry it any place. You know, one of my kind of biggest successes at carrying this message or helping somebody, I was at a meeting. I was outside at the break talking to somebody I sponsored that had been around for a while. And we saw a kid sitting on the front steps of the church, had his hands and his knees. Everybody else had gone back into the meeting after the break. And we went over to the kid and said, you know, what's up? And he says, you know, this is so hard. And he was crying. And he says, this is just so hard trying to stay sober. And I know what he meant, you know. And we sat with him. And we says, listen, if you go back in and just keep coming, things will get better. You know, a few months later, I forgot all about this incident, really. This wasn't my usual meeting. And a few months later, this kid comes up to me at a meeting, and he's all smiling and happy. And, you know, it's like, but the doctor's opinion, you know, you didn't recognize him. There was such a change. And, you know, he made it, you know. And like today, this kid has been active in service, been active in corrections, sponsored a ton of people through the big book, you know. And God put me in that person's life for that 15 minutes to encourage him to keep coming to AA. You know, I didn't have to be his step study sponsor. I didn't have to do a fifth step with him and all that stuff, you know, just to encourage him to keep coming, you know, whenever that happens. I try and not push anybody away. You know, if they don't want to do it, okay, fine. You know, I don't criticize them. I don't shame them. I don't embarrass them about it or anything like that. You know, maybe they'll be ready next year. It's in God's time, not mine. And then the last part of this step, carry this message, practice his principles in all our affairs. I'm not real good at it. What I'm pretty good at is trying to carry, you know, trying to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, I keep trying. I make my mistakes. I have steps that help me to correct those mistakes, you know, in step 10. In step 11, I continue to ask for help, continue to try and get close to a God that I found through these steps. And I've gotten through a ton of situations in like 28 years. You know, I've had a few bucks. I've had no bucks. I had a daughter that was pregnant with twins, and we were so happy. And 6 months into it, she almost lost the twins and was in the hospital for a great period of time. And I could be all part of that and be there and not be a mess and not make it about me and not show up drunk and not be messed up. You know, I could be part of my life, you know, a part of my family's life. A few years ago, I was working at work. I had a piece fly off the machine, and it hit me in the face. The ambulance came, and they took me to the hospital. And they says, oh, no, this is South Shore Hospital, which is a pretty good-sized hospital. And they says, oh, no, you got to go to Boston. They put me in another ambulance. And now you pretty much know you're screwed when they put you in the second ambulance. You know there's an issue. And they got me into Mass Eye and Ear, and I lost my eye is what happened. And I had all concussions in my head and face and everything. And the surgeon's talking to me, you know, explaining everything. And I could listen. I could make decisions. And she came back the next day. She says, I got to ask you. She says, what's with you? She says, if everybody had your attitude, all my patients had your attitude, this would be so much easier. And I said, lady, I've been working for 28 years to get to this point in my life. You know, I know I'm going to be all right. You know, I know God will get me through this situation. And he did. You know, I didn't sit there and lay there and pray for God to restore my eye. My eye was gone. You know, I laid there and asked God for help to get through the situation. You know, I didn't get into self-pity. You know, I had to take pain medication. No choice about it. You had to do it. And it didn't own me. You know, I realized what the freedom from alcohol, freedom from drugs in my case was. You know, I had freedom from that stuff. They didn't own me. My wife knew they were in the house. You know, took them as prescribed, got rid of them when you didn't need them, did what the doctor said, and it wasn't an issue. You know, it's kind of easy to sit around and tell you what happened in the past, you know, and how I practice these principles in the past. You know, it's today. What's going on today? Because my life goes on, you know, and I was just telling Mike, you know, my wife and I, you know, one of my great blessings is my wife is in this program, has also gone through these steps back when I did. And that's a blessing most of the time. You know, sometimes, see, there's guys, I know a guy down back there, his wife has gone through the steps too. You know, sometimes it's a curse that my wife has gone through these steps. And, it's funny, you know, when I say the wrong thing and get her you know, panties up in a bunch or something like that. She'll say, you know, some night you're going to be speaking at a big book step study meeting, and I'm going to stand up and say, he's full of shit. He doesn't practice. And today, you know, we're taking care of our father, 95 years old, alcoholic, and his 85-year-old alcoholic wife. Very difficult people, very mean people. You know, I can say the sick man's prayer till the cows come home with this guy. You know, it's tough. It's tough to have compassion. All of us, you know, this guy has never been a father. He's never been a father-in-law. Somebody we see at Christmas time and be glad that that's all we have to see him. And all of a sudden, we're taking care of him. You know, all of a sudden, my wife's saying, you got to go in there and pull up his diaper. What? You know, that was never on my menu to go do this for this guy. And I had to do it. You know, I had compassion. I don't know. I know where it came from. It came from doing these steps. But, like, you know, it was a spiritual experience for me to see that happen to myself, to see me be able to have compassion for somebody I really don't care for. You know, my wife's dealt with the resentments against him and all that stuff, but it's very emotional. It's a very tough position to take care of these people. You know, they're very abusive and everything else. And I was saying to her, you know, we should stop at, she lives over in Brockton, we should stop at the detox at High Point in Brockton, pick up some new people and bring them up there. And say, see, this is what's going to happen to you if you are lucky and you keep drinking. These people never have been arrested. You know, never lost their license, just drank like fishes their whole lives. You know, and then sit here for about 4 minutes and you're going to see the selfishness and the self-centered of an alcoholic fill up this room. You know, I get to see that and I keep trying to tell myself, these are sick people. God, how can I be helpful and useful and all that? It's still hard. You know, it's not easy to practice these principles. I was just saying to Mike, most of the time, my life is pretty smooth. You know, I work for myself. I've been married a long time. My kids are good. You know, I got to work to pay the bills, but that's, I like working. It's not an issue. You know, and it's pretty easy to practice these principles when everything's going good and going your way. You know, but when you got to pull up the diapers on some guys that you think sucks, you know, that's when you got to dig deep, you know. And I got that through these steps. You know, the purpose, they told me, of sponsoring people was to put their hand in the hand of God. And that's what my sponsor did with me. You know, but for me, by putting their hand in the hand of God, I keep my hand in the hand of God. And I really think that if I stop working with people, you know, not just sponsoring people. I don't have to be their sponsor. Just sticking out my hand to another alcoholic. By helping somebody else, I stay close to God. And I have to do that. You know, it's given me a life like, you know, I never thought I'd have. You know, I'm 65 years old. I never thought I'd hit 35 years old the way I was going, you know. If I had stayed out there, you know, I would have ended up like this father-in-law I'm taking care of. And thank God I didn't. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Okay, after reading this proof of conscience statement, again, if you have completed